For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to fling your favorite fishing rod around. And here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance covers your boat and your belongings. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to high-five someone. But not while you're holding your fishing rod. That's a prized possession. So hold on tight with both hands and keep it covered through boat insurance. Get more with GEICO.
Hi, guys. You're very welcome back to another podcast of NarcCon with myself and a sleepy Remy on the sofa. Sorry, there's a bit of kickback glare on those glasses, but I want to read a comment today in relation to the type of things a narcissist says to you at the discard. These are also things a narcissist, the genre of things a narcissist will say to you throughout the relationship. But the type of things I'm going to go over now are when a narcissist is discarding you, or when you have maybe accused them of having a relationship or an affair with somebody else. And again, this is taken generally in the intimate setting, but these are similar to things narcissists will say when they're really annoyed with somebody in a family setting or a friend, etc., when they're dumping someone, basically. I'm going to go through the comment because this person has left, maybe has gotten this information from somewhere else. I don't know. It's very good information. And I'm going to analyze some of it. So kind of give you an idea of what the meaning is behind it. And honestly, you know, the type of things narcissists say to us at discard, we think that sometimes if we don't know about this condition, if you want to call it that, or this dark energy of the narcissistic personality disorder, we tend to think we're the only ones, you know, that have heard this, that it must be something to do with us, that this person is so vitriolic and so cruel and so basic in their condemnation of us, and the type of things they say to us are so horrific. And it comes as a bit of a revelation to understand that this is universal for narcissists. They don't all say these things, but they all do things that reflect what these things mean. So some of them will discard you in a different way. But this is a general modus operandi of a narcissist. It is so predictable, and it indicates, what they say indicates the level of maturity that they're living in, for want of a better way to describe it. And the cruelty and the malevolence behind their feeling towards the world and towards other people, and what is actually the makeup in general of the person themselves. So before I jump in, thank you very much, everybody who has liked, shared and subscribed, as I was requesting in the last podcast, just to help me stay here and to, you know, support the work, I suppose. And if I could just make one small other request for anyone that has been so kind as to buy the book Weaponized Love, that we've launched recently on Amazon. If you have the time and if you feel inclined, if you could leave a review, that would be fantastic. So let's get into these comments. And I'm going to follow up this podcast with an in-depth look at the smear campaign. And the reason I'm doing this before the narcissist smear campaign is to give you a flavor of the type of person that you're dealing with that would say these things to you at discard and then would go off and smear your name to all and sundry or anyone that would listen to them. And in the podcast I'll do about the smear campaign, I will also give you things that I would suggest may be good at deflecting it, you know, that you can say to people that come up and pass on information, oh, the narcissist has been saying this about you, and how to respond to that, which I hope you'll find helpful. But getting back to the subject at hand, when what we call the final discard comes, and the final discard is generally after a series of mini discards that the narcissist will use, and discard means leaving you or dumping, for anyone that is not familiar with the narcissistic abuse of recovery community jargon. Mini discards are when the narcissist, say, disappears for a night or disappears for a week, in a way of kind of punishing you for your behavior, grooming you and controlling you so that you'll be grateful to have them back and that you'll put in less boundaries for fear of them abandoning you again. So the final discard really throws people off kilter because the narcissist has discarded them before and has always come back. But this time the discard is more cruel, more vicious, and there's a feeling that the narcissist won't come back at this time. And the narcissist may well leave months and sometimes even a year or 2 years or a lot of years before they come back. But one thing I will say to you is that the final discard is very, very, very rarely final. If there's anything left in you that the narcissist thinks they can covet or extract from you, they will be back at some stage in the future to re-engage with you. It may be something that you want at the stage when the narcissist leaves because you're still in love with the false persona. But believe you me, it is not something you want to revisit. And hopefully, in the education you're giving yourself now by finding out about who and what you were dealing with, this is the first stage of healing, in my opinion, is getting that information, getting your brain sorted out. Let's get into it. So the comment was left by Minha Havivia, 47, and I thank you for taking the time to leave this in the comments. When a narcissist discards someone, it marks the abrupt and often callous end of their relationship. This phase is usually characterized by cold detachment, invalidation, and a lack of empathy. Here are the things narcissists might say during or after the discard phase. The narcissist is really, you know, buoyed up at the discard phase. It's like the final lottery win for them. It's so hard to comprehend. But they have had, in their opinion, first of all, in their opinion, you've let them down because you changed. You weren't the person that you purported to be in the beginning of the relationship. And indeed, it is the exact polar opposite. It is them that weren't the person that they purported to be in the beginning of the relationship. But as you put boundaries in, you were harder to control. And they're annoyed about that. And they can't, you know, they can't take that on board because they're superior. So they won't introspect or take accountability. So they're really angry at you. You are not who you said you were. They're very annoyed at you. And they're going to have to now up themselves and go and find somebody else to replace you. And that's an inconvenience and a nuisance. They're also need to punish you because you had the audacity to more or less reflect back to them that you had needs and that they were not omnipotent and godlike and that you were, you know, by asking for your own needs to be met and by suggesting that things could be improved in certain ways, you were thereby implying kind of secondhand that there was something wrong with them. That's the way they view things. It's like totally like a child that won't share their sweets and, you know, you dare to take one of their sweets, you're going to be punished and you're going to get awful things said to you because that's not what the narcissist, you know, that's not something the narcissist is going to put up with. And the other thing is the narcissist has had to maintain a false mask that's been tight, that's been scratchy, that's been inconvenient for you in order for you to believe that this person who they created for you actually exists. And notwithstanding that, they've had to pretend to your family members and friends that they were this person. And they are totally fed up doing that. And it's not worth it anymore because you're not lying down on the ground, giving them everything. And you're actually asking for some of your needs to be met. Or they've met somebody else and they're bored with you. And they think the other person, you know, they think the other person deserves them or they deserve the other person more. They're a higher caliber. You know, there's all these things going on. It's very, very immature and it's very childlike. So let's get into the first phase or first typical phase a narcissist will say to you in the discard or after. Okay, this surrounds blame and deflection. So if there's a conversation and they don't just ghost you, they'll say, "This is all your fault. You pushed me to this." That sums up lack of accountability. This is your fault, and they mean it and they believe it. Your fault that I have to leave you because you didn't comply with the dictatorship that I set out in this relationship is really what the truth of the matter is. But they believe that, and they're telling you that it's your fault, so you can be tortured by blaming yourself that you are at fault for the entire breakdown of the relationship. You are that bad that the narcissist couldn't stay with you. Now think about that for a minute, because that doesn't make sense. That actually doesn't make sense. And you reflect back on what you've done in the relationship. I bet you, you stood on your head for them and your back and whatever else you had to stand on for them. But I bet you did an awful lot for the narcissist. Yet they're turning around and saying you weren't good enough. And that, unfortunately, because of all the devaluation you've gone through and the other manipulations, and because you're an introspective person who may have had a wound like all of us do, thinking, well, are we good enough? You know, a lack of confidence at different times in our lives. That's going to set up off a whole new set of neuropathways lighting up in everything that you would have ever thought that you weren't good enough in before you met the narcissist. That lives all of those up. So that's what that does. So it's a powerful destructive statement to make to somebody who was meant to love you. I can't deal with your issues anymore. Kind of the same. I can't, you know, it's your fault. It's your fault. I'm not going to be your friend again because you do too many bad things to me. You took one of my sweets. You do too many bad things to me and go away. It's your fault.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
When you get the Planet Fitness Black Card, you can bring a friend anytime you work out. And now through March 13th, get your first month free when you join. You heard that right. Conquer the stair climber with your partner in climb. Enjoy a post-workout recovery session in the hydro massage. And do it all again with access to any of our 2,700 convenient locations. So, you coming? Get your first month free and all the perks with the PF Black Card for just $1 down, $24.99 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends March 13th. See club for details.
You're just too much drama for me. Now, I have also had a narcissist who told me that he couldn't stand drama, yet made drama all the time on something believable. They love drama because drama gets them a lot of attention. It's a lot of emotional output and it gets a lot of people involved. If there's a drama and you go looking for support or whatever, or you argue with them, pretending not to like that is, and what they call drama is also them not giving you anything or doing anything to show you that they love you, or not being a reasonable human being and you asking for your needs to be met. How dare you? You're causing arguments. Okay, number two, dismissal of value. You were never good enough for me anyway. I mean, you were never good enough for me anyway. The immaturity in that, it's like mind-blowing. This is not normal, guys. But because you've been groomed and with a narcissist for a certain length of time, you come to accept these things as perhaps normal statements. It's only when you get very well clear of that energy and out of the narcissistic fog and chaos that you look at that statement and said, you were never good enough for me anyway. I mean, where's that coming from? It's pathetic. I don't need you. I can do better. Again, it's like the playground stuff, you know. Jenny over there, well, she's going to give me more sweets than you are, so I don't need you. Go away. She's going to give me more. So go away. I'm not going to be your friend anymore. It is that level of immaturity, emotional immaturity that you're dealing with that drives all of their decisions. So when you get into that headspace that you know that's the way they're wired, any threat to their control, any hint that you won't give them more than someone else, any hint that you won't do everything they want and that you won't hold them up as master, leader and God is a threat to their control and makes you the enemy. It's that black and white. It does not matter what you did for the last 15 years. The only thing that matters is this moment. No object constancy, all black and white thinking. I was just wasting my time with you. I was just wasting my time with you. That'll come out if they haven't managed to extract like a property from you or got you to marry them or have children with them or they didn't get all of your inheritance. They were wasting their time with you, and that's a true statement. The only reason that they were with you was to secure your assets. So if they didn't get your assets, or if your assets didn't build up to what they thought you were going to be worth, then they were wasting their time with you. And they were wasting their time with you because that's the only reason they were with you. Number four, gaslighting and manipulation. You're imagining things. I never cared that much. That's probably the consequence of a conversation you might have had with, I thought we loved each other. You said you loved me. You said you loved me. You said you loved me yesterday. You said you loved me an hour ago. How can you then walk out and say that the relationship is over? That does not make any logical sense. Then you might get a statement like, you're imagining things. I never cared that much. This was never as serious as you thought it was. Now, this might be after the narcissist telling you that they would lay down their life for you, that they want to marry you, that they love you more than they've loved anybody else, that they want this, that and blah, blah with you. So once they change their mind, it's they tell the truth. This was never as serious as you thought. It's the truth. But they were deceitful in getting you to believe that it was really serious. I never promised you anything. Oh, I never promised you anything. All of the future faking goes by the wayside, and the narcissist will try and gaslight you out of thinking and, you know, reiterating the fact that, well, you said, you say this to the narcissist, you said we were going to get married in 2 months. You said we were going to live here and you were going to have this job. And then they said, I never promised you anything. Because they changed in this moment when they're discarding you, they never promised you anything. Of course they promised you. Of course they did. But they twist it and turn it and gaslight you into saying they were only things that were maybe going to happen. But look at what you've done. Look at your issues. How can I go ahead, you know, and do all those things with the issues that you have? So it's denying and it's blame shifting and it's withdrawing, which is the classic three-way step that narcissists take when confronted with anything hinting of accountability. Number five, minimization of the relationship. It was just a fling. Don't make a big deal. Just a fling. You may have been with the narcissist for 2 years, but there you go. That's not a big deal. Like, what are you getting your knickers in a twist over? Like, it's nothing. It's just a 2 year relationship that we've been living together and planning a future and, you know, going to get married or whatever. It's your problem again, basically. The narcissist wasn't attached to you. You were attached to the narcissist, and that was by design. The narcissist never attaches to a person. The narcissist attaches to things, and you're a thing, but the things that you have is what the narcissist attaches to. They covet what you have, but they do not attach to you as a person, as a soul, as a spirit, as a human being. That part's irrelevant, unfortunately. You're overthinking this. It wasn't that important. Generally, when you may be blowing a gasket because the narcissist, you know, has literally a week ago asked you to marry them and has then changed their mind, or has a relationship, you know, has an affair with someone, and you're going, excuse me, like, seriously, you know, you're having an affair, like, and they say, ah, don't be silly, you're overthinking it. It's not that important. It's not to the narcissist. They know it's important to you, but they don't care. You're acting like this mattered. What an idiot. I mean, what a total out-and-out idiot. Imagine saying that. Like, it's not an adult thing to say. And it's also demeaning you. It's making you and your opinion totally irrelevant. It's making you believe that, like, there's something wrong with you for having a valid, normal human reaction to something really important changing in your life. Number six, shifting to the new supply. And this is mind-blowing, guys. This is absolutely mind-blowing that somebody that would love you would say this to you. But they do. Their thought processes, their drivers behind their behaviours are totally different, in my opinion, to the way a normal person thinks to a human being. And actually, there was a comment made. I'll just bring that in here. Somebody giving out to me for essentially dehumanizing narcissists, people that are malignant narcissists. And I would say to that person, they are human in that they can suffer. They have the ability to feel sorry for themselves and they can feel pain. There's a lot of human things attached to a narcissist, but their behavior is inhuman a lot of the time. So that's the distinction. Of course, you would feel compassion for a parent, a child, a friend, a past ex when you get really healed and understand narcissism. You would feel compassion for what they're lacking in life. They're lacking a life, a human life experience. They're having a very marred type of existence. Anyway, I digress as often. Shifting to the new supply, they have the audacity to say, you should meet my new partner. They're amazing. I mean, it would totally blow the hat off your head, wouldn't it? You should meet my new partner. They're totally amazing. Disgraceful. I've already moved on. You should too. And I don't like this at all. Because in modern times, there is this thing like where relationships, and particularly romantic ones, they kind of seem to be given this idea out there that relationships are disposable. And it's something you try, then you move on, like a car. Like you buy a new car and then, ah, sure, you know, you've had it for 2 years, felt like a change, you know, wasn't operating as well as it should. That's the kind of context narcissists will put relationships into, because that's actually the way they view them. It is actually the way they view them. They do not attach to people. So I've already moved on. You should too. It's the cool thing to do. You know, if you were healthy and normal, that's what you'd do. That is kind of out there. And we need to say, no, that's not good enough. You don't move on that quickly if you loved somebody and made a lot of plans with them and made commitments to them, because you didn't view them as a car. So maybe talking to our young people, you know, and say it's okay to be really upset when a relationship breaks down. It shows the goodness in you, and it shows the empathy in you, and it shows your capacity for love. And it takes time to heal. This moving on business, you know, to the next. Let's maybe address that. I don't know if you agree. If you don't agree, leave in the comments. If you do agree, I'd love to hear. They understand me better than you ever could. Well, that's the oldest one in the book, isn't it? My wife doesn't understand me. My husband doesn't understand me. I leave that there on its own, standing on its own. Number 7, the victim narrative. You were the toxic one, not me. Well, what a get out of jail clause. To put it back on you so that you're sure that, you know, when the relationship is coming to a close, the narcissist has done this, this and this, and you have introspected and taken blame for a certain, you know, amount of things. But your behaviour is within the realms of normality. The narcissist's behaviour is totally skewy, like they're saying to you, the new person is amazing, you should meet them. While you're in the pits of despair and pain. Or they say, they understand me better than you ever could. I mean, you are the toxic one, not me. Well, that's just classic blame shifting. Classic lack of accountability. I've been suffering in this relationship for too long. And actually, the narcissist does mean that, because they've been finding it very hard, or harder, to control you as you have put in boundaries to the abuse that you've been suffering by the narcissist. And the narcissist realized this quite a while ago, but perhaps wasn't in a position to move or to jump to a new car, a new supply, a new person. There wasn't somebody out there who they could control and get more from. Or they stayed because they thought if they stayed longer, they might be able to get a hand on your assets. So they did stay in the relationship for far too long, because they didn't care from the very beginning to the very end about you. They just cared about what they could get out of it. And they did take a gamble, stayed for longer than they thought they should, hoping it would pay off, and it didn't. Tough. Bye-bye, narcissist. Then I stayed longer than I should because I felt sorry for you. Oh, oh, oh. Because I felt sorry for you. It's unbelievable. It's literally unbelievable. But that's to make you feel that there's something wrong with you. And it's to deflect from the fact that there's something wrong with the narcissist. That the narcissist is the one that is unfit for a relationship. But they need to leave you thinking that you're the one with the problem. And I've gone into, there's another podcast I did as to what the narcissist wants you to feel after the discard, why the discard is so cruel. And the main point is to keep you in a terrible state for a very long time so that you'll be shelved for the narcissist return to Hoover. And you won't get into another relationship. So that's it briefly. But these are the things the narcissist wants playing over and over and over in your mind about the fact that you weren't good enough, that you weren't lovable, that you have a lot of issues, that you're a toxic person. All projection. What to keep in mind? These phrases are meant to wound, confuse, or provoke a reaction. Indeed they are. provoking a reaction is another part of the whole schmozzle, because they would like you, they're baiting you and triggering you into playing a role of maybe the crazy daisy or whatever, you know, they want to portray you as in the smear campaign which is to come. So the discard is often agendized and pre-planned for you to fall into the trap, play a role, go and tell people a certain thing that the narcissist has said to you. And they may even give you a very false reason for leaving, hoping that you're going to tell people that this is the reason they left. And then they go back to people and say, sorry, there's a flame there. There's a flame reflected in the screen, and I thought that something was on fire behind me. Sorry. So that they'll tell you anything, and you expect you to go and say that to people, maybe, and then they'll say, "I never said that. What's she talking about? Or he? What's he talking about?" They're always on to some wicked game. In my opinion, they plan things. I know it's said that they don't, but in my opinion, they pre-plan and they know what they're doing. They often serve the narcissist's agenda of maintaining control, shifting blame, or justifying their actions to themselves or others. You know, if the narcissist is the type of narcissist who likes to think that they're a great person, they're a great guy or a great gal, you know, and they want that mask reflected back to themselves so they can go, "Oh, I'm just so perfect. It's just a shame, you know, that Paula had all those issues and problems. You know, honestly, I did my best to help her, but she's beyond help. So they kind of go, they puff themselves up and their chest out, and they find it easier when they self-believe the fake image to sell that to other people. So yes, they like to come up with explanations so that they don't have to take accountability for their cruelty or their behaviour or their abandonment of a person with a whack across the head telling them that they're not good enough, which is basically what they're doing. Recognising this behaviour for what it is, manipulation, can help you detach and protect your emotional health. Thank you, I found you. You're very welcome. So I believe healing is really, really deep diving and recognizing what you've been through. Recognizing that the other person is not coming from the same, the narcissist is not coming from the same behavior drivers, does not have empathy, objectifies people, and is literally not engaged with your emotional type of layout or a human being's emotional type of layout. They're coming from a totally different position. So if you can understand that and detach, like literally, as I've said before, you were in a relationship with a hologram who did not have your best interests at heart. So it was an enemy program coming in as a lover or coming in as a friend. And that's all it was, trying to stimulate feelings in you, to manipulate you, to do what they wanted you to do and to give them what they wanted you to give them. And that's it in a nutshell. So if you can detach from the relationship and from what you were meant to feel about yourself by what this hologram said and did to you, then you get a lot straighter in your mind to reprogram those negative messages that subtly were planted in your brain by the narcissist and were confirmed in the discard. That's basically simply what happened to you. So take back your power and control and go into your new life, reframing the whole program the narcissist ran on you, wiping it out, getting rid of the virus, as I've said so many times before, in your software, and starting you up with a clean slate, with your definition of who you are, with your definition of your identity, and your definition of what you want going forward in life. This is literally the start of the healing journey. But it's, to me, it's 50% getting that straight in our heads. Okay, guys, going to see you for the smear campaign in the next podcast. And we'll give as much, hopefully useful information as we possibly can. For anyone that's not on video, I see there's a bit of activity there in the back. We've had one walk already today. And I think, do you think we should go for another walk, Remy? He's not. Once I turn the video off, he'll be down and ready, off to get his lead. So listen, guys, have a really, really good week ahead, and we will see you again soon. He got the message. Okay, bye for now.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.